Hello and welcome to December's Library Chat, a monthly podcast by the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, where we chat about books and podcasts with library staff and guests. I'm Sarah Williford, Library Director for the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, and here with me today for our episode are some familiar voices if you listen to our other podcasts. So here with me is Leslie Heinzler, our Special Services Librarian.
Hello.
And Denise Bean, our Youth Services Librarian.
Hi.
So today we also have a special guest joining us for our podcast. It's library staff member Karen Ice, who is part of our audio production team. So welcome, Karen.
Hello.
We're glad you could join us. Get a new voice.
Yes,
indeed.
Good evening.
So, it's snowing outside.
Oh.
Just heads up. So definitely a gray winter day. So I always find it curious what people like and dislike about winter weather, specifically Iowa winter weather.
Nothing.
Nothing, Sarah.
Like nothing.
I have to describe Karen right now because she is dressed so adorable. When I think of snow, I think of cozy sweaters, and I actually think of fireplace hot chocolate. With a little extra, but so she's dressed in this beautiful sweater that has red, black, and
the main thing's white.
White. Yeah. She has a beautiful necklace.
It's like a ski sweater.
Yeah, it's like a ski sweater.
That's a good description.
And it has. You probably made your necklace.
Yes, I did.
Necklaces.
It's got a snowflake design, black and silver.
And she has a very cute hat with two puffballs and a very sparkly turtle. Does that mean like turtles?
Turtle.
Well, last count I had 400, not live turtles.
No.
It's a lot of live turtles.
Stuffed turtles, jewelry turtles.
I do have to say, I like wearing, sweaters in winter.
Me
and
too.
I'm cold a lot, and it doesn't really fly in Iowa summer to wear sweaters.
No.
Yeah.
I do like being cozy. Actually, I brought hot chocolate.
I mean, you can always put on more clothes or go under more blankets and stuff, but in the summertime, there's a limit to how much you can take off.
That is true.
I will have to say, and I'm going to knock on wood on this table, is our winter this year hasn't been much of a...
Yeah,
here we go.
Better knock on that wood.
So I shouldn't complain, but I was just standing by the door and I thought it is a winter day today.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, and I do like snow around Christmas time, so that's nice.
I like winter because it's a built-in excuse to not have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
This is true.
If you have something you don't want to go to, but you have to come up with a semi-good excuse, it's like, but it's winter out, but it's, it snowed and I can't get out of my driveway until I snowblow it, which won't be until later after it stops snowing.
Is it technically winter? Because it's like the high today is 33.
Yeah.
Well, technically, it's not winter until next week.
That's true.
After the solstice.
Next week, have you guys looked at the forecast? High of like 3 on Thursday or Friday.
I'm never going to see my narrator on Thursday again.
Oh, made some friendships throughout the years.
He sent me an email yesterday saying that it depended on the weather, whether or not he'd be in today, and it's not looking good.
Well, that's a good segue to also explain a little bit. I mean, not that we wouldn't welcome you anytime to the Library Chat podcast, Karen, but there is kind of a special reason why you're here with us today. Tomorrow, we will be celebrating your retirement and your anniversary. Uh-huh. Your work anniversary, and then, 39 years work anniversary with the Department for the Blind, and then on January 5th, that will be your last day at the library. So we're sad, but we'll celebrate today.
Celebration.
We are sad.
Yes.
But, again, Iowa Department for the Blind, specifically library, 39 years.
Wow.
And you worked as cataloger? And now...
Yeah, I worked first as a reader's advisor.
Okay, reader's advisor.
For 3.5 years.
And then...
And then I was a half-time reader's advisor, half-time cataloger. And then I was a cataloger forever.
And now...
And now I'm a audio person.
Member of our audio production team.
There's no official real title to it, you know, because I used to be able to say with a great big breath... When people ask me where I worked and what I did, I work at the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, which is part of the Iowa Department for the Blind and is connected with the Library of Congress. The
you did well.
Library, Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. Mm-hmm. And I am a service specialist for the Blind 2/librarian-whatever. I now no longer have a dash whatever.
So, Karen, you are also an avid reader and mm-hmm. so knowledgeable about the science fiction genre. Mm. So we couldn't let you go without picking your brain about books and reading. But before we get into the book part, I think it's Denise. You asked this question at when we do our... anniversary celebrations for staff members throughout the year. I think you ask everybody, what is your favorite memory working in the department? Yes. So we ask you, Karen, in tradition.
With no advance notice, so I have no idea.
Denise never gives me
that. Yeah, we
didn't know. Yeah. Like, put you on the spot while you have like a donut or a cupcake in your mouth.
But we aren't being recorded. Karen's being recorded.
So I have to finish eating this virtual donut or muffin while I think. Yes. Well, I always love to tell the story about my first week here because... The first Friday I worked, because everybody starts on a Friday, doesn't really count. But the next week after that, the first day I worked, there was a party because somebody was leaving. And then back then I didn't have a car yet, and I was taking the bus because the buses ran right outside my house to right out, practically outside the building on a regular schedule that was worked well. Mm-hmm. There was a party on my bus. And
a party on your bus?
Yes, a party on my bus.
A party bus.
And then there was the traditional holiday tea, which took the entire afternoon. And then that night, somebody came over to my place and picked me up and drove me to where the staff party was being held. Oh. So there were four parties the first week I started. And I was like, okay, this is going to work out well.
Good time.
Party a lot.
Or start a new job during the holidays.
Yeah.
It's the time to do it, I guess.
Of course, shortly after that, we had several blizzards.
And water events.
Yeah. No, there was one month we had 3 blizzards. Always on Fridays.
Wow.
What has been your favorite part of working in and with the library?
Probably my coworkers. You know? And finding out about books I probably wouldn't have otherwise found out about when they came across my desk mm-hmm. to be cataloged mm-hmm. or to be circulated mm-hmm. or to be recorded.
Mm-hmm. So, we have... some interview questions about books for you.
And she picks up her paper and looks at both sides.
Some highlighting in there, too.
First question. What is your favorite author of all time?
I don't know.
Some of these, I will say, out of the gate, aren't exactly fair. Because I always feel like you're asking, like, your favorite pet or child or...
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Honestly, no answer. Yeah. So you can say pass. We'll allow pass.
It tends to be, you know, whoever I'm reading or if I find a new series, you know, as I'm reading through that series... If there's a convention I'm going to where an author is going to be there, you know.
Has the book ever changed your life?
Well, I don't know if I want to answer that because then you'll ask me something like how, and I'm going to answer
that. And it gets real deep, doesn't it?
Yeah. I could tell how the direction she's going here with stuff.
We're all bawling, and oh boy.
Yeah.
You're so smart. She's on to me.
I don't know. There have been several that I could say I wouldn't have read if it weren't for the fact that, you know, we were reading them here to, you know, recording them, or that I was going to be meeting the author or whatever that turned out. I remember reading The Verbal Art of Self-Defense, which I never would have thought of reading, because the author was going to be at a science fiction convention because she also writes science fiction. And it turned out to have a lot of good ideas about how to deal with confrontations and things like that, and how to spot when somebody is attacking you verbally. So that one was fun.
Interesting.
Suzette Hayden Elgin. Wow.
So what genres do you love?
Well, obviously, you already mentioned I read science fiction.
Gave that one away.
Yeah. I read science fiction. I read fantasy because, I mean, some people consider those two separate things. Mm-hmm. I read mysteries. I read romances. I read various kinds of nonfiction. When I was a reader's advisor in particular, I made a point of reading at least one Western a year. So that when people who liked Westerns called up, I could always say, well, I just read. And then I would fall back on my dad and my brother like. But because there are Western authors other than Louis L'Amour, Zane Grey, and Max Brand.
There are, yeah.
There's Johnny D. Boggs.
Some of them are alive.
Uh-huh. Like Johnny D. Boggs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who also writes about baseball. He wrote a Civil War baseball Western.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
Okay, so all-time favorite book character.
Okay. For mysteries, I'd probably go with the classic Perry Mason, just because I had so much fun collecting all the books, and it got me out of jury duty.
I love Perry Mason. Oh, he's suspenseful.
I was up to be on a jury for a murder trial, and while they were going through the voir dire and picking out jurors, the prosecutor made a comment about how Perry Mason, the defense attorney Perry Mason, always wins all his cases, and I couldn't help myself. I just, you know, made a little noise, and he asked me why I was doing that. And it's like, I collect Perry Masons, and he lost like three of his cases. And I think that's why I didn't make the jury.
So you got
dismissed. Perry Mason knowledge.
Because I did a one-up on the prosecutor.
That is awesome.
It is
very awesome. For science fiction, I think I like... Well, I really like Honor Harrington by David Weber. Of course, his books tend to be about 40 hours long in recorded format.
Big commitment.
But yeah, but he's a nice guy. I've met him several times at conventions. My sister and I were in a small group one time with him, and he asked us specifically, because it was like a dozen people in the room and we were the only two females. And so he asked us, you know, about Honor Harrington, his main character, getting married. And, you know, because as women, we would know these things. And we were like, well, if it makes sense in the story, you know, and everything. And she did end up getting married. Oops, spoiler.
And were you okay with her getting married?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, because... like I said, it made sense in the storyline how they handled it and everything. And I got rid of the whole what's going to happen now thing that he was trying to do but wasn't doing that well.
And I did.
Because it was kind of like, duh!
Where where do you like to read?
I'll read anywhere.
And I was gonna say, that's one thing I like envy about you. You can read anywhere, and I want to mm-hmm. do that. But
I can read in the car.
You can.
Yeah.
I mean, you really can. I've seen you in different, just yes. trying to
yeah.
you know, do, and part of your job is going through it.
Yeah, I have to read through a lot of the stuff, mm-hmm. skim through it, or read through stuff, you know, because I have narrators who would prefer not to read strong language, or, you know, you just need to know what's going on and so forth in the book or in the magazines especially, to look out for tricky things and, you know, how do you pronounce this? Good question. Let's Google that and hope that they got interviewed on, you know, it's lots of times it's people's names. And so it's like, let's Google that and hope they got interviewed on YouTube somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they didn't cut the introduction.
Well, I love how you always did your homework, because I know with the audio, when they're narrating, how you enunciate a word is so important.
Yeah.
And
if you don't know how to enunciate it, or you can't tell for sure, when we had the Annals of Iowa with Norwegian in it, mm-hmm. you do the best you can, and then you spell it.
Oh, I love that.
And that way, if somebody wants to complain that you butchered it, you can say, well, yeah, I know, but at least I spelled it, so you knew that. You know? It's... And if you're reading a book where, you know, when you read a print copy of a book, lots of times it'll have a word and then in parentheses it'll say pronounced such and such and tell you how to pronounce it. Well, if you're doing an audiobook, that's kind of stupid, you know. Mm-hmm. And so what we do instead is we say the word and then we spell it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yes, it does.
So there's little tricks that you have to learn, things to do. Sometimes you just have to either leave something out or add in a description from what's on the printed page.
So this is listed on my list as one question, but I think it's technically three. So what's the last book you read?
The last book I read, you mean like completed?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been, I don't remember the precise title, the eighth book in the Anniversary Day Saga by, I got to remember if her name's Catherine or Christine Rausch, which is a science fiction series. And I read it on my Nook, and so the individual titles weren't always showing up, and mm-hmm. so I don't know what the individual title was.
What are you reading now?
Too many things to list.
More than one?
Oh, yeah.
I have tunnel vision, one book at a time.
Oh, no. I'm reading the book Agatha by a bunch of different authors. It's short stories in the mode of Agatha Christie ones. Mm-hmm. I went on the Des Moines library, and it was one of their audio or e-books that you could, you know, borrow now for only 2 weeks. This super popular book. And I was like, okay, my best friend used to love Agatha Christie, so we'll read these in her memory. And so I'm reading that one. Wild West Magazine, Two Esquires. These are things we're recording. And Annals of Iowa. You know, we're recording them, so I'm reading them, you know, and everything. And we're all caught up on The Birds and Blooms, so I'm not reading any of those right now. For a year, I was reading Coach, but that would be one that I just finished. Yeah. It was an audiobook. I'm editing it now, so in a way, I'm still reading it. And whatever strikes my fancy when I open up my Nook reader.
Well, that was my next question, is what will you read next? Because I know I have like a pile.
I have a TBR pile.
And it might be on my Kindle or it might be hard copy, and I'll kind of just see what I'm in the mood for. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I didn't know if you're a planner and you know what's
next. No. I have a sister who does that. She's got a you know. After I finish this book, then I can go and get this, and then I can go and start reading this book. And mm-hmm. I'm like, nah, no. I might go through and look and go, oh, yeah, I remember. I was in the middle of that one. I should probably keep reading that.
I've been known to like go through my pile and think, no, not mm-hmm. not right now. And mm-hmm. I'll go find something else.
Yeah, I have like 5,000 books at home, and not all of them have been read. It's distressing.
So my last question, and then mm-hmm. I'll open it up to the floor. Okay.
I'm probably going to cry. I don't know why I'm feeling sentimental because I don't know.
I'm going to be around for eight more days.
I don't know.
Okay, so since we work at a library, we all get this question, is what is a good book to read? I think mm-hmm. a lot of people ask mm-hmm. us. So what is your go-to recommendation?
Well, I don't ever answer that question with a title right off the bat. You have to find out what kind of a book they want. And I honed my skills on that 25 years ago, those first 4 years as a reader's advisor. Because, yes, how old am I? That was before we had computers. the department was a late adopter of computers. And so you would get a lot of phone calls from people because the only way they could order books from us was by giving us authors and titles. There was no, I want a mystery, and we'd just send out mysteries. We would have to go through and ask them for, you know, try and come up with authors and titles working with them. And so what TV shows do you like? What movies do you like? And all those sort of questions were really, really important back then. And that's still sort of my go-to, especially with people who are like, well, I don't really read, so what do you, you know, and they try and toss it back at me as to what do I like to read. And so then sometimes I'll try and come up with something that's way out of left field for them. And
it's definitely art to
get them to think of
the reader's advice, the interview. Because mm-hmm. Sometimes, even when people ask me, you know, what's a good book? It's like my mind
draws
a blank.
I know.
Like, mm-hmm. do I read books? I don't know.
Yeah,
have I read a book?
Every time you people come, you know, send a survey out to the staff for what are you reading now? Because we're going to be doing a blog post or something. It's like, oh, let me sit down and write it out or whatever. At one time, we had a library staff book club. But instead of everybody reading the same book and discussing it, we'd go around the room and talk about what book we were reading. And a different person would host it every month. And so one time I got stuck with I was delighted to host it. And so when I sent out the first announcement of, don't forget, we have the library book club coming up, I said, did Karen read 30 books in 30 days? Come to the book club and find out. And I had indeed that month read 30 books in 30 days.
Oh,
now, I was aided by the fact that I listened to a lot of audiobooks at the time, and I was listening to or reading a lot of children's books that are a lot shorter. but I did have one Honor Harrington 40-hour book in there and some other ones. But I was reading on my breaks. I was reading on my lunch hour. This was before I started going out to eat all the time over lunch. and I could squeeze a lot in. I'm a very fast reader.
Yes.
Okay. Denise, Leslie?
I just have a question that it's not really related to you. So was there a card catalog here in this library?
Well, you've seen the card catalog there.
I've seen it, but there were a lot more of those. Okay.
Yeah, there were paper card catalogs, and when I was a cataloger, that's what I was working with.
Cards?
I didn't type them.
Okay.
I only had to type one card, and with on a three-part form, and two parts got filed in the card catalog as a temporary card, and the third one went to one of my initially two typists to produce the whole card set. Then after one of the typists retired and didn't get replaced, we finally got upgraded from plain typewriters to memory typewriters, where you could type it in once and it would create the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And then when we got computers, we had to revise that and everything. But
wow.
Yeah. We did things the old-fashioned way.
I learned the art of typing.
I did, too.
It's funny to watch how everything is just developed in a way that has been better, in that essentially, yeah. I mean, making it better. But I think one of my memories, as a youth services librarian who's always tapping into programming and ideas, mm-hmm. and you always seek those that have been before you, or you just know the people that to ask, but I'd have desk duty. And you'd be going past me to go to Burger King or, you know, your lunch wrap that you take. And you'd be on your way past, and I just have to ask one sentence, like one question. Karen, what do you think? And then, believe it or not, it turned into a huge undertaking for you. And she would take the whole...
You're talking about the capes.
Capes, yes. I was going to see if you would guess it. But these, I'm kidding.
That was a phone call, actually. It started with a phone call.
Did it start with a call?
Yeah, you phoned me up and asked me if there was an origami thing I could think of to do with superheroes.
Oh, yes. And then we got on to capes.
And it was like, well, I do happen to have an origami book that is DC superheroes. But it uses special paper, and it's not anything that you could teach a kid to do. And then I thought back when I did a vacation Bible school with crafts and stuff. And one of the most popular things that we did one year was we made superhero capes, and every kid got a superhero cape. And even the teenagers liked them, you know, not just the little kids.
That's true. That's true, because how many did you make that summer? 20?
I think about 25, something like that. 25? Yeah. The toughest part was finding the fabric and then getting myself to do it.
And that's funny because you went out and you scouted different places to buy the fabric. And
one of the fabric stores was closing at the time. That helped.
Yeah. And there was one that had the stars on it, the mm-hmm. white with the gold stars, right? Or the silver stars.
No, gold stars.
Then there was one that was black with all these...
With a rainbow, it looked kind of like an oil slick on fabric, on furry black fabric. It was really nice.
And you put a lot of thought into that, on how to make it, how to attach it.
You put Velcro around the neck, so if it snags on anything, it'll come right separate, and nobody will end up being strangled.
And you know what? So that day we had the programming, they wore them.
Of course.
They wore them, And then I think...
And some of the parents would probably tell you, he won't take it off. We got that at Bible school.
And even our helpers that summer.
They were wearing theirs.
And you handed me one, and I said, throw this on. And I went to... I had to do some outreach that day, wore it to the library. And then you just talk about, well, look at that. Yeah. It was really fun. And then origami. I think when I read the word origami or even run it, I'll always think of you, Karen, because how do you, I mean, she would come into afternoon program, after school programming. A year ago, was it a year ago?
Something
you came in, and I think it took almost, the whole time together was nearly an hour. And the parent at that time was really wanting to learn how to make the grasshopper.
Yeah. Could be.
What were we making? The butterfly?
Now I can't even remember. Did we do a grasshopper first? And then we had extra time, and so we did the butterfly. But the butterfly it's hard to describe origami sometimes. Origami, the Japanese, German, Spanish, those are the three main countries that one connects with paper folding. And I can't remember... Papyria flexia or something like that is Spanish. And for somebody who actually took some German, I don't remember what the German term is for it. But I've been doing it since I was a teenager. And so figuring out sometimes how to not do the shortcuts I do and how to describe things.
So Karen,
takes a bit of time.
There might be a chance. There might be an opportunity.
We get this recorded.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Could you come back as my guest someday? Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe.
Origami, or they would love you. You know, in the summertime.
If we
think about it.
Yeah.
I could send you the link once I get it set.
Yeah. I walked into Arby's last night.
And
my server looks up and yells out some kid's name. The lady who makes the Christmas trees is here. Oh. And I order my food and I look down and there's this kid standing at my elbow looking up at me and just staring at me. And I look down and I go, hi. And he says, hi. And then he keeps staring at me.
Is he waiting for his treat?
He wanted me to make something for him, but he couldn't bring himself to say the words. He was just so amazed.
Did you make him one out of your napkin or something?
I made him a frog, a jumping frog.
You had it in your
purse. I had paper with me.
Don't be silly.
What was I thinking? Get it together. Yeah.
Then his little brother came over, and I made him a grasshopper. And then, of course, they both wanted to have a grasshopper the one they didn't have. So I made him that, and then I said, no more, because I have to go home now. They were 7 and 4.
That's a perfect age for that. Yeah.
So, I am known in a lot of places on the South Side as the Origami Lady. Because you go to certain places where I eat, and you will see origami left there.
You left origami in our library space.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
It's all over,
actually.
Yeah, but you got some pretty impressive pieces.
We do.
I still have my one you did, the shape, and it has the staff names.
Yeah.
It's a cube.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because the cube took 12 pieces of paper, and by tossing in the volunteers and something, mm-hmm. I ended up with 12 names.
Yep.
And
very special.
Yeah, I was just, writing out the names earlier going, I should do one of these for leaving.
Yeah, they are. We will never take those away. I mean, those are treasured.
Yeah.
And even the butterflies. That have been added
there's
to
a
that
couple
tree.
Little butterflies.
Yeah,
I wanted to do a lot more. I never got around to it.
So we have a tactile tree as you enter the youth library space, and Karen added some tactile origami butterflies to our tree.
They look great.
Yep.
And somebody commented today on it, actually. They were coming in, and they go, oh, I like your tree. And the butterflies are cute, too. And they're colorful little butterflies.
I got an email today from somebody asking me what kind of candy I used in the candy wreath for the hard candies.
I had done
candy wreaths for a couple years way back when. And then I got lazy one year, and I left a bowl of candy, the ring, and the string, saying that the elf who was making it was too lazy and he had to make your own.
Did you attach a glue gun?
No, they're tied on.
Yeah, that had to have taken you a long time.
On?
Yeah.
Well, it took me a few nights watching TV and everything.
That's
but yeah, they're tied on.
Yeah,
I can show you how to do it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I stuck a piece of bubble gum that got stuck in all my fillings that are ancient in my mouth.
I put bubble gum on there for fun one year, and the bubble gum was so popular that this year when I was looking for candies, you have to have that specific kind of wrapped candy. It was like, okay, well, they have the sour ball candy at the candy store I was at, and then we were at, I don't know, Sam's Club or something, and I got a giant bucket of the bubble gum. And then
later on,
I got the Tootsie Rolls.
Love bubble gum. It's not a good thing, but I love it. And I am like a gum snapper, bubble blower.
One of those people.
So I'll go get it, and then I'll think, do I have time to chew this before
you
I have to
meeting.
Eat it?
Is that bubble gum? You salivitate.
Oh, my problem is with bubble gum is I could take like a half a piece of Trident and blow bubbles.
Yeah, or snap.
You know?
Snap or blow bubbles.
Oh, I love to snap. Yeah, and the bubble gum on yours is the perfect.
Yeah,
well, of course, it's double bubble.
Yeah.
Do you snap, Leslie, when you chew your gum?
I don't, no.
I can wiggle in a few snaps, but...
I don't do much because my mother really did not like us doing that at all.
My mom used to snap in the front seat, give me a ride to school, and I thought, okay, stop the snapping.
So I will, when I come to meet with you, I'll make sure I grab it in your face.
I might be distracted by snapping.
Now, if you want to make a candy wreath, you can simply Google how to make a candy wreath, and you will find several different kinds.
That's cool.
But you want to make one where you can take the candy off and eat it. Not one of them where they have you, like, unwrap your Starlight mints and glue them to a styrofoam thing.
No, that's because no good. The beauty of your wreath is you leave the wrapper, and so you still have the wreath.
Wreath shape.
Oh, it had a big gap when I came in this morning, and I just redistributed it.
So they thought they had to take it all. Yeah.
Well, no, gravity, I think, sometimes causes it to fall down. But
I might need to send out instructions again.
Leave the wrapper, take the candy. That's cute. I'm probably going to figure out a way to use that next December. Somewhere.
It was, you know, it'd been a while since I'd made one, and I have three rings. One of them is smaller than the one I used, which would have been nice. Mm-hmm. A lot of the instructions have you use an old wire hanger and shape it into a ring, because then you have the top of the hanger to hang it by. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just lucked out when I was trying to figure out how we're going to hang this and where I'm going to hang this. Randy was working on the front desk, Randy, our maintenance guy. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, Randy, I have a candy wreath I need to hang up somewhere. And so he was talking about, and I was like, I'll just, you know, he said, could you send me a photo? Well, I went back up to my office and brought it down. And he looked at it, and he was like, well, we could probably hang it over there or something. And he had three little pieces of telephone wire that he'd cut off when he was doing the stuff at the front desk. Yeah. So I took one of those, and he's like, oh, that's not strong enough. So I grabbed the other two, and I twisted all three together, and that's what it's hanging by.
So, Karen, do you have any last thoughts?
Last words?
Last words. That sounds
cool. Nope, it's been a fun 39 years, but it's time to go. It's time to go home, laze around the house, enjoy being in wintertime, and I don't have to go anywhere.
That's
it snowed. Do I have to get the driveway clear? No, I don't. I can wait and see if the neighbor comes over.
I know more than one of us have asked you this question. Will you continue to have your tradition of going out to doing lunch?
Not as much, but there's some places I'll still be going.
So there'll still be origami on the south side?
In fact, at Subway yesterday, I told them.
Too.
Yeah, Wednesday Subway's, that's when I get the cookies.
Okay. I didn't know that.
For Angie and Leland. Angie and Leland have planned out an entire cookie schedule now because I won't be here to give them cookies on Wednesdays.
What a nice lady.
But I broke the news to the Subway guy that I would not be coming in as often because I'm going to be retiring. And he was like, yeah, I remember you from when I used to work at Burger King. 3.5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Funny. I have been known to go to different towns and, you know, I sit down and order something and then I get up my origami to start folding and they'll go, it is you. And I'll look up and I go, it's been like 5 years since I've been here.
I feel like you need to write a book.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Adventures of
origami lady.
And the people you have met.
And food.
Yeah. Karen, we have a whole book for you to read.
Yeah. In your retirement. You now have a project. Yeah.
Well, the dollar bills that I fold as tips also makes quite the impact on people.
I
think you have a book.
Yeah. I do too.
I was in the Carolinas one time for meetings, and we went out to lunch, and we left the restaurant, and the restaurant was up above where the parking lot was. And it was the Carolinas, you know, the windows were open and everything, and we're getting in the cars, and all of a sudden, hey, lady in the hat. did you fold these? Yes, I did. They are so great.
Nice.
I have to plan extra sometimes for going out to eat. Extra time.
Gotcha. I believe that. Yeah. I believe that.
Can you show me how to fold that? How did you fold that? Yeah. If I give you a dollar, could you fold me?
I think you...
Yeah, I bet you get that a lot. Yeah.
Captivated my mother-in-law with the folding of the dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That origami. Remember that.
So, we will wait anxiously for your book.
But I don't like writing. I like reading, not writing. I have a shirt that says, I finished the book today. What did you do? Oh, and the first
shirt.
Well, yeah, except the first time I wore it, the person looked at it and goes, read one or wrote one? I was like, sure, you had to one-up my shirt.
That's funny.
It's always one in a crowd.
So now I always have to think when I wear that shirt, I have to make sure, did I finish a book? Can I wear this shirt? Because if somebody may ask me.
Would you finish?
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us today for our December 2022 Library Chat episode. And a special thank you to Karen for joining us today and sharing with us today.
Yes.
And I do wish you all the best.
We do.
Thank you.
Hold on, I gotta get through this.
She's got it coming.
If you know me, if you know me at all, you know what's about to happen. So, anyway, let me start that over. I wish you all the best in retirement. Thank you for all you've done for the department and the library. So, I say to you, on to the next chapter.
Oh, I like that.
So now I have to do the closing for the blog. So great.
Just so you know, we all have pink eyes right now.
So if you've missed any of our earlier episodes, the podcast is available on our library blog, iowalibrary.blog, and you can also find episodes from other library podcasts, library news, and Braille Bits on the blog as well. Thanks for listening, and we will chat with you next month. And thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you for having me.